Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890 925 KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Southern Utah's only Elder Care Radio program, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, Southern Utah's only extensive palliative care provider.
It is a great Wednesday morning, and we're happy to be here, and we have some things to talk about. In the past, we've encouraged people to be their own best medical advocate and take control of your own health care, and we've encouraged you to make a list of the medications you're on and carry that with you. Now we want to take that one step further, and we'd like you to actually take that list of medications that you have, and if you haven't done it, make a list of medications, and then go online and just Google drug interactions, and you will find a dozen different sites that will give you the ability to input all of those drugs that you take, and it will then compare them and give you what happens when you take more than one of those at a time. Some of those interactions can be very bad, and so you should know about that. But there are other interactions that are less noticeable, but there are details in there that may be useful for you so that you are better prepared to manage your own health care. If you do that, you may find that there are some interactions that you've noticed the symptoms of and didn't know why. And that would be a good reason to then be able to talk to your doctor and explain. Because it may be something small. Maybe you get a little vertigo, a little dizziness, not sure why. And instead of getting another drug, you might look at the drug that you have and say, well, maybe I should adjust that one. But if you don't know, you can't have that conversation.
To make some sense of this and in a way that is probably really common and easy for everybody to understand because we've all taken antibiotics, right? So antibiotics, we might have to take one for a short time. We know that the antibiotic kills what, Richard?
Well, it kills all the microorganisms in our system. Some of them are very bad, and that's the goal. But some of those microorganisms are not bad, and when we kill those off, it changes our internal body process.
So a lot of us have learned that if we take an antibiotic, that we should also take a probiotic. But what happens if you take the antibiotic and the probiotic at the same time?
Well, I think they're going to fight, as Jeff was.
They do. They fight each other. And
Jeff, did you know that on radio nobody can see your hand movements?
I got it. It's okay. That's good.
It's so interesting that we know that an antibiotic and a probiotic will work against each other, but I just don't think that we always really take the time to think about that. We think, I have an antibiotic, I should probably take a probiotic, and you don't think about the length of time you should put between taking them so that they don't conflict with each other.
My wife was telling me the other day, she was saying something, she's been taking ZzzQuil and really likes it, and she said, you might want to try one of these, and I said, oh, okay. And she said, let me check real quick, though, because I take a Zyrtec allergy tablet, and I'm thinking, well, those won't conflict. They do.
Right.
So it's good to do the research you guys are talking about.
Well, and that's a good point. Not only the prescribed medications, but any over-the-counter medications that you take can have an impact, too, and that's where just be complete in that list. If you go through this process and you find you have nothing wrong, then celebrate that all the drugs that you are taking are appropriate and effective. But if you go through this and find that there's one or two that you probably need to be adjusted, then you should talk to your doctor about it. Now, here's the deal. Doctors don't like to countermand other doctors. And so if you have more than one physician that you're working with, maybe you have a general practitioner that you see every 6 months and you've got a heart doctor that you see or, you know, any of those, they may all prescribe something for an ailment that you have, like pain. And this is probably the most common thing that we've seen, that people are prescribed pain medications without an end date. Now, pain medications should have a termination
never
time.
Never intended to be long-term.
That's right.
Never intended to be used long-term.
But when they're used long-term, then, of course, the pharmaceutical companies get paid well, and the doctors continue to receive commissions on that.
Well, and let me just interject, and I hope we don't get too sideswiped by this, but the truth is, if you're taking an opioid pain medication long-term, you're probably not getting anything more than the benefit of some constipation because our bodies have a way of adjusting to them and they no longer benefit us. A good pain management program will give you pain pills for a short period of time, and if you still have chronic long-term pain, they'll change the pain medication and maybe come back to that one at a later date. But if you're just on the same pain medication for a long time, it's and you're wondering, gosh, why do I still have this pain? It's not benefiting you. Or if you think, oh, I keep taking it because I don't have pain, the truth is you should probably be tapering off of that because your pain is gone.
Right. So those pain meds usually have about a three-week utility?
Month, isn't it?
3 weeks to a month. After that, it doesn't work anymore, and in fact, it makes your body more sensitive to pain, so that it feels like you're in pain even though you're not. And so, if you're on a long-term pain med, you really should be looking at that. But that's kind of an aside from where we were. But so, if you have a doctor that's prescribing a group of drugs, and you have another doctor that's prescribing a group of drugs, and they aren't comparing their lists because nobody wants to countermand another doctor, then you may be double dosing or having medications that conflict. So it's really up to you to kind of manage the people on your team. You've got a healthcare team, and you need to be able to manage those and do that with knowledge and intelligence.
Well, and I think it's important to remember that we cannot just walk into a doctor's office and just lay all of our medical needs at their feet and believe that they are going to do everything that is specifically tailored towards our individual needs. And that's really, really important because I don't think most people realize that with the insurance programs the way that they run so efficiently today, a doctor can have between 1,800 and 2,300 patients depending on the type of facility that he works within. He might remember when you come in the door that, you know, you have a child at Dartmouth University, but does he remember that he took your gallbladder out? Does he remember that you don't have adenoids? Like, there's just a number of little things that are personal to you that aren't specific to your doctor. He may not remember things. He may not remember allergies. You must advocate for yourself. But as it relates to dizziness, it's interesting, or to medications, it's interesting. We have a patient that's dealing with vertigo and dizziness. So she was desperately seeking out, and even before she got to us with medical professionals, a way to deal with her vertigo. And so she had been given medication upon medication upon medication. She had been switched to different doctors, different specialists to address this vertigo. Well, guess what? She was on three medications that caused either dizziness or vertigo. Do you have any idea how simple it was when we looked at her medication interactions and said, okay, these three cause dizziness and vertigo?
If you don't like dizziness and vertigo, maybe you should... Yeah. Make a different decision.
Right. And we need to realize that most medications have multiple options to treat the same thing. So if you're dealing with, you know, blood pressure issues and you have three or four options for it. So make sure you're taking the ones that don't cause you adverse reactions that require other symptom management.
And your doctor is always trying to do the best they can with the information that they have. However, if you're not actively engaged in helping the doctor figure out how these drugs are working with you or working for you or against you, then the doctor can't take the information that you have and integrate that into their plan for care. So if you don't tell your doctor that you're getting these side effects from these drugs, and of course you won't know that they're side effects from those drugs unless you know what those drugs do and what the side effects are, and that's why we recommend doing this. Just go online, Google drug interactions, and you'll find a number of sites. Now, I've used drugs.com because it has a lot of explanation as to the interactions. It doesn't just say, well, these two drugs interact at this level,
but it
says how, and these are the side effects. So it's not a bad site. I'm not saying that you need to use that one. We have no compensation for that. you know, this isn't a marketing plan for them. It's just, it is a tool that you can use. So if you take your list, put it on that site, get an idea of what your symptoms are, and then compare that to how you feel, and then go have a conversation with your doctor. Okay, so these are the things that I've noticed now that I'm looking for it. And maybe your doctor's going to be able to come up with a plan that works better for you. And I want you to understand that drug management and healthcare in general is not a simple, well, if you have this, then here's the solution. I know we'd like to simplify it that way, but medicine is not an idea of simple solutions. It is complex, and I'm quick explanation. A university in Canada actually did a study and came up with this really detailed explanation that problems come in three categories: simple, complicated, and complex. They spent a lot of money to come up with that. I think we should all know that there's problems can be simple, complicated, or complex. Simple is, yes, if this is the problem, here's a solution, no big deal. A complicated one is, well, here's a problem, and there are a number of different aspects that we have to calculate in to get to the answer, but there is just one path. A recipe is, you know, somewhat complicated, right? But it's not complex. Complex means that each of the aspects that we're dealing with can have variables which change the outcome. One of the variables is your own body. We don't all respond the same way to the same intervention. So to say that if you have pain, then the solution 100% of the time is this painkiller, no, that's not the case. There are a number of different painkillers on the market because they all affect us differently. But we also should be looking out outside of that and saying, what other things could affect that? Movement can help with pain. Massage helps with pain. There's a lot of other things. And so as you become more in tune with what works for you, you'll be able to help your doctor better prepare for what you need. So that's what we're hoping today, is that you understand that your doctor's doing the best they can with the knowledge that they have. If you can bring more knowledge to them, then that's better. Okay?
Absolutely.
So,
well,
go ahead.
Can I just say that quite often we have to remember that medications have several different options available to treat singular problems. And let's be honest and realistic. Pharmaceutical companies are in the business of creating medications that promote new business and make a lot of money. So here's a simple one. Quite often people are, you know, by and large, being prescribed Eliquis and Xarelto. And I'm just grabbing those two drugs because...
Because if you're on those, you know that they can be an expensive drug.
Very expensive.
And that expense doesn't go down because you're on Medicare. Somebody's paying that money for that.
And why are they expensive? Because they're what the government considers is a relatively new medication, so they still have patents on them, so nobody's allowed to compete and make a generic brand yet, so they can pretty much charge you whatever they feel they want to charge you. But the truth is, if you've done a lot of studies, they have done a lot of studies, and they have realized that Eliquis and Xarelto can be replaced by, ready for it?
Yes, what?
Aspirin. Simple aspirin. Aspirin, 90 pills for $3.54 over the counter versus Eliquis or Xarelto at $800 a month. So why does your doctor prescribe those? A long time ago.
Well, this is where we get into the drug companies charge a lot of money and then spend a huge amount of that on marketing in many different ways.
Right.
Obviously, they are the major advertiser in most news organizations, you know, the morning shows and everything else. If you watch, they are doing more advertising so that they can get their message out. And their message is, yes, you need a drug for that.
And spend more money.
But they also go directly to the physicians and market to them and give them incentives to recommend these drugs.
They are probably the ones that are saying, you know, aspirin causes blood lining to thin and bleed. I think we're hearing some music in the background here. And if you're afraid of taking aspirin because it causes ulcers or thinning of your stomach lining, consider what the complications or consequences are of Eliquis or Xarelto. So you really have to look at good, better, best, right? And what is the likelihood that aspirin's going to cause such a complication? Not in most people. So we have to consider, is it advertisement? Is it promotion? Are we hearing advertisements on the TV? Because again, as Richard said, we're one of two nations that that allow direct advertising to the consumer. And then these consumers, by and large, go into their doctors and say, I have all of these symptoms. What about this? What about this?
And the doctor can then say, well, wouldn't you know it, I happen to be paid well to encourage you to try this drug that addresses those symptoms. Yeah. And so
you have to advocate for yourself, don't you?
Be your best advocate. And we've gone over that before. What we're really trying to do is just say that you need to be engaged in your healthcare. You need to take that active role. And so if you're willing to take that list and find that out and talk to your doctor. But one of the important questions, and this is probably the most important question that you can ask your doctor, whenever the doctor suggests you take anything or go through some procedure, ask them this complex question. Why is it that you're recommending this particular process instead of some other, and can you tell me what the other processes could be and what the advantages or disadvantages of those are? Because if you have your doctor lay out all that, then you're better informed to make a decision about whether you want to do it the way the doctor would like. I'm not saying you have to stand opposed to your doctor. Your doctor's not trying to force you into anything, but he's giving you options, he or she, and those options can sometimes benefit them. And so you really can't fault them for wanting to do that.
In a practical sense, they just don't know the details of you that you know about yourself. So the single most important two-part question is whether it's, regardless of whether it's a surgical procedure or a simple medication, what are all the options or choices that are available to treat this problem? And why, doctor, did you choose this one specific option for me? So it's really important to get your doctor to start considering, why did he make that decision for you? And the decision he makes for Richard should be different than the decision that he makes for me probably 9 out of 10 times.
Right.
So you just have to get him to thinking, huh, what other options are out there? And then as he starts to talk, you may come up with something like, oh, well, I have an allergy to that, or I have a propensity towards dizziness, or this has been a problem in my past that he may not have thought of, and you didn't know it was a complication or a potential consequence. So speak up to your doctor and start these healthy conversations so that information can flow and you really can get the best service.
So there's, try and create an example of this that I think some people can understand. One of the things that we have a lot of people asking us about, or, you know, people are concerned about, is low thyroid. And this is a complex situation. It's not a simple one, although we are always looking for the simplest answer. So I'm not going to try and give you an answer for you as to what may work best, but I'm going to give you some options and the different positions that people take so that you have a better understanding. And maybe if this is an issue that is a problem for you, you can talk to your doctor about. So the medical community tends to want to provide a single medication to solve that problem. But if you don't understand the problem, then you're not going to be able to understand the medication. So our thyroid produces a number of different hormones. The ones that we're going to talk about are known as T4 and T3. And those are just a complex molecule that has a number of different atoms of different features. And the difference between T4 and T3 is just that one molecule, one atom of one of this drug gets taken off. So the T4 to T3, that's the change. Now, T4 is a fairly inert hormone in our body. It doesn't do much, but our body can process that into T3, and the T3 is what really makes the changes in our body. And when you're looking at low thyroid, some of the things that you'll notice is you always feel cold, you're tired, you're lethargic, you lose your hair, you know, all of these things that a lot of us have noticed about ourselves. And how do we resolve that? Well, the medical community tends to go with, well, let's just pump up the body with T4 because our bodies can process that into T3. And there's nothing wrong with that logic. But if we go back in history, before we had synthetic hormones, a synthetic hormone like levothyroxine, which is the main brand of synthetic hormone, which just is T4. Now, they do make a synthetic T3 also, but the normal procedure is just provide the T4 and let the body process that into T3, and then we should have enough T3 to do what we need to do. And there's some beauty and logic in that simplification. However, when we look at the option we had before we had synthetic hormones, we actually had hormones that were taken from nature. I'm not going to say these are natural, because putting cow thyroid into your system is not
completely natural.
Not natural. or pig thyroid, which is what we use now. In fact, a little interesting aside, the common brand of natural thyroid medication is called Armour Thyroid.
Why?
And if you didn't know why it was named Armour Thyroid, is because we used to get that product from cow thyroid for a long time, but then the Armour Meat Company started processing pig thyroid. It's called desiccated thyroid hormone. They dry it out, they powder it up, they measure to make sure it has the right amount of hormones in it, and then they turn it into a pill that you can take. So the Armour Meat Company developed Armour Thyroid, and that's what we tend to use today. There are other brands. Again, I'm not recommending any brands, but that was just an interesting historical aside. So now we mostly use porcine thyroid that's been dehydrated and chopped up, and that works. Now, the human body, the thyroid in the human body usually processes and produces about 80% T4 and 20% T3. So you actually have this production of T3 immediately going into the body that helps with this. Now, our thyroid is producing that every minute of every day, while if we're taking a drug, we're taking that drug, and maybe we have a 15-minute time when all this getting put into our body every day if you're only doing one drug. So it's not perfect. But neither, if you're using a synthetic, it's not perfect either. So our bodies normally, and everybody's a little different, but uses about an 80-20 mix of T4 to T3. Porcine thyroid is usually a 70-30. So if you take that may not be exactly right for you. And so when your doctor's trying to come up with a prescription for you, it's hard for them to get it right the first time, and they need some feedback from you to figure that out. So if you're on a medication that's not working, then have a conversation with your doctor and say, well, these are the symptoms I still have. This is what's not working. But you can't have the conversation if you don't know what it is. So do a little research, find out what those are supposed to do, and move on. The interesting thing is that there's a lot of historical medical objection to natural or, you know, somewhat natural solutions. And in medical school, it was taught that the only solution, the one that makes the most sense, is just synthetic hormone. That's it. And you may have a doctor that feels that way. Not that they're completely wrong. It does work sometimes. The medical community has always said, no, that's a better option. However, there was an organization that came out in 2012, specifically said, no, just synthetic hormone, that's the solution. But then 2 years later, they did have to come out with a little retraction and say, but some people do respond better to desiccated hormone or desiccated thyroid hormone, DH or DTH. So there is a possibly better response. If you're willing to work with your doctor, if you're willing to share information, meaningful information with them, then they may be able to help you get that. And if you're finding you're not getting the answers that you're expecting from your doctor, then look at other options. Talk to other doctors. You have the ability to engage other physicians in your care. You don't have to choose just one and make that the only one. I'm not trying to say you should change doctors, but there are other doctors who have different training and different focuses that may be more effective in some of your care.
And the point really is to be involved in your care. Be your own best medical advocate. And where you think, I don't have the training, I haven't gone to school for that, that's what I pay my doctor for. Remember, it's the small minutiae that can really make a difference. According to the NIH, which is the government research and science study, there are more than 251,000 deaths made by or caused by medical errors in the United States, and that's with the realization that less than 10% of medical errors are ever reported. So if there's 251,000 deaths recorded on average in a year, and only 10% of those medical mistakes ever go reported, we know that there's a big problem, and we believe that part of that problem is that enough people are not being involved and vested in their own best medical care. According to Johns Hopkins University, medical errors is the third leading cause of death in the United States. And again, that's with 10% of medical errors being reported, only 10%. Just a quick interjection. The whole reason we come here each week is to help our senior community in southern Utah find resources and have education and information that will help them be, healthy and well and survive this crazy world we called life. And it is brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. And what is our telephone number, Richard?
Our telephone number, because we would really like to hear from you, is 435, local area code. And then it's the easiest number in southern Utah to remember. On the left-hand side of the thing, you're going to hit that 4 and then 77 down below it. And then you move over to the right-hand side, and it's 6 and 999. 477-6999. Can't get any easier than that.
And our website, pathwayhospicecare.com, where you can find out more about us, why we're here, and what brought us to southern Utah. I think there you'll discover, I know there you'll discover by comparison, that we provide more services than anyone else in southern Utah when it comes to hospice and palliative care. Our hope is that other people will step up and start providing the same type of care so that everybody can take advantage of a very, very expanded palliative care program that is provided 100% cost-free to the beneficiary of Medicare, Medicaid, and most other insurance providers. People just don't know how easy it is to access help in your home.
And if you're not finding that help, if you think that it's out of reach, then give us a call. And in whether we can provide care directly or we can help out in any way, an example, we happen to have a hospital bed that's been donated that we would love to give to somebody who's in need of it. A hospital bed that, you know, the head adjusts up and down, the feet adjust up and down, and the height of the bed adjusts up and down, which makes it easier to get into and out of for those people who are a little more frail and unable to do that. So if you know somebody who is at that point that even getting in and out of bed can be difficult, then give us a call. We've got this bed. It's no charge. We'll let somebody have it and use it. More than happy to do that. Or if you have other needs, and you know, as we get older, a shower chair or a toilet riser, you know, we have no no ego here. We'll talk about anything. So if there's anything that you think would be helpful in your home to make life easier to do, a shower chair so that you can sit while you're trying to wash because our balance isn't as good anymore.
Well, interestingly enough, most people don't realize what they don't have. They just know that this is so difficult. I'm having a hard time helping my husband get in and out of the shower now. And they don't even know that there are so, so many resources available to help you stay safe and healthy in your home.
Or a toilet riser, you know, just being able to get up off that toilet can be more difficult. So we're excited to be here every week and to share, and we hope that our sharing does some good, and we want to hear from you. So give us a call, 435-477-6999.